Well, this was a stunning verse to me, and that was in Book of Mark, chapter 6 and verse 5. And he could do no miracle there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. He couldn't do any miracle. It means he did not have the power to do a miracle, and he wondered at their unbelief. Now, in the book of Matthew says he did not do any miracles there because of their unbelief. That's how powerful beliefs are. And when a belief is formed, it can either push you forward or pull you backward. For instance, the Israelites did not go into the promised land because they had a belief that they couldn't win. They could not conquer the people that were there. Even though God said, I'll go before you, I'll give you the miracle, I'll give you the land, I'll do the fighting for you, they would not go in. Their belief was they couldn't win. When you hold that belief, you cannot win. You just don't go forward. So there are many examples. Now, you and I have formed sometimes core beliefs about ourselves, formed early in our lives, either through misunderstandings. You know, as a child, you hear some things. I mentioned the man whose mother left him and went off to, you know, find somebody in her life. She went off, leaving him with his grandmother. All the other boys had their mothers with them. He didn't. He developed a belief that there was something wrong with him. There was something wrong with him. Women don't like him. His mother left him. And you can reason as a child and come up with ideas and form beliefs about yourself. Some people believe they can't learn. Some people believe they can't learn math. Some people believe they're just not very good at writing. Some people believe they're terrible. They can't draw. They believe it. Even though it may not be so. They just never took enough lessons for it. They believe it, and they have these beliefs about themselves. Now, some beliefs are immaterial in the sense that if you have a core belief, it doesn't affect you, it doesn't limit you. But if it limits you, look at this one. We talked about this last week. I never got what I wanted. I always got what I didn't want. So I want what I can't get because what I can't get is what I want. I don't want what I can get because what I can get is what I don't want. I never get what I want. I never want what I get. Now, that's a package for misery. And here's one that goes like this. This is a core belief. I don't respect myself. This is a woman talking. I don't respect myself. I can't respect anyone who respects me. I can only respect someone who does not respect me. I respect Jack because he does not respect me. I despise Tom because he does not despise me. Only a despicable person can respect someone as despicable as me. I can never love someone I despise. Since I love Jack, I cannot believe he loves me. What proof can he give? You see where she is? The minute Jack respects her, he's out of the picture. He's out of the picture. He can't, because he can't give any proof. Because she'll despise him the minute he shows her respect. She loves Jack because he doesn't respect her. Anyone who respects her is out of the picture. She throws them out. How is this one? I must be good. And somebody tells you you're a bad person. He's bad. She's bad. And the little kid believes they're bad. But I must be good. Everybody keeps telling you, you must be good. You must be good. But I can't be good if I'm bad. And remember, these very powerful, the word to be, I am, you are, he is. That word to be is so powerful. If someone said, you know, he's a bad boy. He's just been a bad boy. He is a bad boy. You're bad. You're a bad. And kids pick it up. If I'm bad, how can I be good if I'm bad? There's no way to be good. I must be good, but I am not, because you're a bad boy or you're a bad girl. How about this? I am worthless because I can't do anything. And I can't do anything because I'm worthless. You see where you get tied up. I'm a worthless person. Worthless people can't do anything because I'm not worthwhile. I'm worthless and I can't do anything. People ask me to do something. Well, I can't do something because I'm worthless. And I need to do something in order to be not worthless, but I can't get there. So it's a constant state of misery. People feel like this. I can't do something unless I know I've learned it. But I can't learn it until I do it. So where are we? It's almost like the old joke, I'm too heavy for light work and I'm too light for heavy work. You know, so I'm never going to get anywhere because I can't work. I'm too light for heavy work, too heavy for light work. Think about it. I can't do something unless I've learned it, and I can't learn it unless I do it. Here's another one. The only way, and this one, I've had clients say this to me, the exact words. The only way I can feel safe is to feel unsafe. I have to feel unsafe. The minute I feel safe, then I'm letting my guard down. I have to feel unsafe all the time. That's the only way I can feel safe, because if I feel unsafe, I'm guarded. I'm watching. I'm watchful all the time. And that's the only way I can feel safe. But if I let myself feel safe, I might let my guard down. I might be open to friendship, and I get taken advantage of. So the only way I can feel safe is to feel unsafe. These are beliefs. These are beliefs held in the mind. They're core beliefs that come in early. And when that belief takes place, it negates all evidence against it. That belief will negate, it will dismiss, it will try to fight against every belief, every fact against it, okay? Anything that comes into your mind that will change that belief. I'm worthless, I'm no good, I don't deserve, I'm undeserving. Whatever the belief is that people hold deep down, when facts come, you see people that, you know, they're smart, but they believe they're dumb. They believe they're stupid. Because in one case, I said to a man, well, you've been pretty smart. He just looked like I slapped him in the face. I said, well, you look startled. He said, well, I never thought of myself as smart. I said, well, look what you've done. You've done this. You know, but he just never thought of himself. Now, thankfully, he gave me a lot of credence. We had established a relationship, so the belief he had in me may have overridden some of his own powerful core beliefs, and so he was willing to accept that statement. But a lot of people can't do it, even in the face of facts. They can't overcome the core negative beliefs some of them hold. People feel, how about a belief like this? The grass is always greener. Whatever anyone else has is always better than what I have. Their car is better than mine, their house is better than mine, their grass is greener than mine. Everything they have is better than what I have. That's how a lot of people believe. So they're never satisfied. They're always jealous of what everybody else has. Whatever they get is never enough, because whatever you have is better than what they have. And they feel this, they believe this. It's a formula for misery. They're not ever happy. When do you get happy about what you have? You're never contented. Stolen waters are sweeter. That's a proverb in the Bible, right? Stolen waters are sweeter. Why is that? Why? They're really not sweeter. That's a belief in the head. It's a belief in the mind. If I could have that, if I could steal it, if I could have it, steal it, it's better than if I could just earn it. If I earn it and work for it, it's not very good. But if I could steal it. And so there are people committed. Do you know there are rich, there have been, rich Hollywood actresses. One actress would pay, that her managers would pay a store a certain amount so that she could steal things. And so she could go in and shoplift. She shoplifted because it was better if she could steal it. In her mind, she just had to shoplift. So they just said, you know, because she was rich. I mean, she had no problem with money. So they didn't want her to be arrested. They didn't want her to go to jail. They didn't want bad publicity. Here's a certain amount for her to steal. She could steal a certain amount every month or whatever. But she didn't know that. So she would, you know, her managers were taking care of it through her money. So she would go in and steal. And it was, oh, delightful. This dress is so beautiful. You know, now that she had it. But if she had to buy it out of her own pocket and pay for it the way, legitimately, she wouldn't think it was. That's a quirk of the mind. That's a belief up here. It's a quirk. Grass is greener, stolen waters are sweeter. Now, as we develop in life, each of us has to be responsible. We are responsible for the beliefs we hold or the unbeliefs we hold. We're responsible for whatever beliefs or unbeliefs that we continue to hold. How about people who hold a belief, and let's come back to our religious roots now, religious things. What do you think happened to a lot of people who believed that the end of the age was going to take place in 1975? What do you think happens to people who continuously believe that the end of the age is only 3 to 5 years away, only 5 to 10 years away, only 5, 10, or 15 years away? Well, what do you think happens to their lives? How does that belief that the end is right here, the end is, quote, almost here, what do you think that does to their lives? I know people that say it's not worth taking a class. Why would I want to go to take classes? Why would I want to enter school? Why would I want to get this done? Why would I want to take the efforts to fix my life and fix my skin or fix my teeth or fix my back or, you know, take care of my car or take care of my house or redo this? Well, what's the difference? Because it's going to all end in a few years. Why would I want to do that? A belief that hurt people when they held it. And we're all responsible for that belief. You can't blame some preacher who said it, because you adopted it. You and I may have adopted it. We can't blame somebody else. How about the belief that healing from God and using doctors or medical profession are incompatible? They can't be. You can't do that. So, I don't go to a doctor. I don't do anything. I don't get any help. I'm just going to rely only on God and God alone. What about that belief? How many people you think have been hurt by that belief? I'm not going to take my child. She's got appendicitis. I'm not going to take her for an appendectomy. I won't do it, because after all, I've got to trust God. You see, there are misunderstandings of the Bible, misunderstandings. People read in the Proverbs, you know, a rod for the fool's back. You know, give your child, if you beat your child, and then you have, then he or she will turn out right. You do this, and actually the words beat. If you read it, the Hebrew, it almost implies beat, like a rod. How many people have taken that literally when it was prophetic, when it was poetic language, when it was poetic language, and taken it literally to go out and beat their kids. Discipline is proper, but beating? How about the woman that called in years ago? Was a woman that read this scripture, if your right hand offend you, cut it off, and she chopped off her right hand. Chopped off her right hand. I wonder how many people took the thing about plucking your eye out. If your right eye offend you, pluck it out. That's not literal, but they didn't understand the Bible. They might have plucked out their eye for no reason other than a misunderstanding of scripture, and they held beliefs. So each of us is responsible. What about prejudice? Prejudice. At one time, there were people who did not believe that people of color had a soul. Can you believe that? Believe that they didn't have a soul. What was that about? Ignorance, superstition, prejudice, and familiarity. When I came to a certain college years ago, people were talking about those who were Gentiles. And obviously, I don't make any claim to not to being Jewish, so I was a Gentile. And people said Gentiles are not clean. They're unclean people. They're dirty. They're all there. Well, I said, my mother always had us clean up and wash. We had to take a bath. We had to wash up. My folks' house was clean. My mother had a scrub. I as a teenager, we scrubbed the floors and make sure everything's right. You know, we had to be clean. So this idea, these things that were prejudicial toward other people, came because of ignorance, superstition. Some people went down across the border and looked at Tijuana and said, "Well, it's pretty dirty," and they thought all Mexicans were dirty. I mean, that's ridiculous. Go to Mexico City and you see beautiful places and beautiful homes and beautiful restaurants, and it's just prejudice. It's based on lack of information, superstition. So we all are responsible for these things, and some of these things lead to anger and hateful to other groups, hatefulness. We can't have that. You can't. And you and I are responsible for the beliefs we hold. It's important for you, periodically, to question some of the things. How did you get this belief? How did you come to hold this belief, not only about yourself, but about the world in general, about other people in general? Many people have a gender problem, There are men who feel all women are this. Women are. Well, how can you say women are? I mean, there's as much variety among women as there is among men. All men are. You can't say all men are, because there's a variety among men. All kinds of. We're individuals. But people get a prejudice. People get a fixation. They start attributing things to a certain class or to a certain group, to a certain gender. And you hold these beliefs. You have to question those beliefs. All Middle Eastern people are. You can't say that. You can't say that. All Hispanics are. All Asians are. All blacks are. All African Americans are. It's ridiculous. All Indian people are. You can't say that. There is a variety of people. Each one of us has to be individual. You have to clear your mind from this belief of groups and label the group with a certain quality or characteristic. And you and I are responsible for those. We're responsible for that. One of the wonderful things about human beings is that we do have beliefs. It's wonderful. God has wanted you to believe, didn't he? He wants you to believe. Jesus said, he that believes on me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water of the Spirit. You believe on Jesus Christ. We believe in God. We believe in creation. You know, one of the things that characterizes the way I view food and things, I believe that God created the world, that God created all the fruits and vegetables and all the things that in the world, the cows and the sheep and the oxen and all that. I believe that God created, and he gave some of it for food. He gave it for us for food. Now, I don't think poison ivy is a food, but I believe it's a natural substance, but I don't believe it's a food. So I believe that good food comes from the soil. God says we're made out of the dust of the ground. I believe that you have to have a certain number of minerals in our bodies to function right. I believe the vitamins and the minerals come from the ground. When the plants seek the minerals, they absorb certain mineral content. We eat that with the living vitamins and nutrients. And by the way, that's how you got the word vitamins, you know that. Because in the ancient days, in the 1920s, people believed only in minerals, okay? There were only minerals. And when Robert McCarrison, who was part of the British Army and he was a surgeon there, he saw people in the hospital and they were, he saw birds first. These patients were feeding the birds all white rice, white polished rice, did not have the bran on it. And after a while, the birds started, their wings started to kind of pull up like this, like they couldn't move, and they were having a very difficult time. And Robert Carrison saw that. He said, well, what's wrong with this bird, you know? And all the soldiers or the people in there were giving the birds the rice that they were being served. McCarrison went out and got some bird seed, various kinds of other seeds, and the whole seeds, and the birds ate that, and the wing came back and straightened out. It was kind of pulling back on, and it came back and straightened out. Little by little, and then he decided to experiment. He gave the birds white rice. Once again, after a while, a few days, the birds' wings started pulling back, and then he saw this again. So then he gave it this other, the whole grain, things, and they straightened out. And McCarrison decided there was something vital. There's a vital mineral here that is not ordinary. We can't see that vital mineral. And that's where you get the word vitamin. It became a vital mineral shortened to a vitamin. Okay? That's how we got it. But again, belief. My belief is that natural, because God created the nature, he created the things out of the ground, that he gave it the herbs and everything, that those things make us healthy. Eating those natural things that come out of the ground and the soil is enriched make us healthy. Periodically, I have gone out and bought ground rock. You can buy ground boulders, It's pretty heavy. You get a sack of it. It's like 10 or 15 pounds that you think is light because some of this, it's all stone. But it's ground up, and you spread that powder around your trees and everything, and the trees pick up the minerals from that. The worms will come along and make it into an organic substance, and the roots of the trees will be able to absorb minerals, and your plants and your garden plants and all that. And the worms will love it because they will utilize it. And so these things put minerals into the food, into the tomatoes, into the potatoes, into the oranges, the peaches, the pears, the plums, and apples and all that. And you get minerals. And when the minerals make those fruits taste great, not only do the minerals make the food taste better, but they are better for you. And my own personal belief is what we call vitamins, those unseen things, can be they are transmitted by the minerals. They're transmitted. They ride on the minerals, the nutrients that you get. So I believe in that. These beliefs affect our lives. You and I have chosen beliefs about the world, about yourself, about other people, about the opposite sex, about whatever. You have chosen beliefs. You need to question them to be sure they're not limiting beliefs. In the book of Romans, chapter 14, we read this, beginning in verse 12, and we're responsible. But why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? This is verse 10, verse 11. For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For as it is written, as I live, says the Eternal, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each of us will give account of himself to God. That's Romans 14, verse 12. Each of us will give account of himself. You are responsible for your beliefs. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We all have to be judged. We, each one of us, will be judged on our own. Now I want to go back to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, I'm going to drop down to verse 7. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says. Now listen to how much faith they had in the scriptures. The author here, that we believe is Paul, the author of Hebrews says, just as the Holy Scripture, the Holy Spirit says, and he's quoting now Psalm 95 in verse 7. Today, if you hear his voice, that's the Holy Spirit saying that. Do not harden your hearts, as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me and tested me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation. And I said, they always go astray in their heart. In the heart, the mind, the seat of your emotions and your intelligence and your belief system. They always go astray in their heart. And they did not know me or they did not know my ways, rather. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now, that's all a quote from Psalm 95. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying. The author is saying, hey, that's what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. And then he says in verse 12, now the author going on, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. So each one of us has to watch our minds, our heart, that we don't get an evil, unbelieving. When God says this, we say no. God says that, we say no. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Hardened. That is, you don't learn lessons because sin is so deceitful. You don't learn the lesson of the sin because sin becomes deceitful. That's what hardening means. It means you don't learn the lesson. Your heart is hardened. They were hardened. Today, if you hear his word, don't harden your heart as when they provoked me. For we have become, verse 14, partakers of Christ. If we hold fast the beginning of our assurance or firm until the end. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. And then he says, he quotes that verse again, for who provoked him when they heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt, led by Moses, they all provoked God. And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? The first generation coming out of Egypt saw all the plagues. They saw what happened to Egypt, these various plagues. They experienced being saved by the blood of the lamb on their doorposts after they sacrificed that Passover. They all got ready. They all got favored with the Egyptians, and they were able to plunder the Egyptians ahead of time. They were asked favor, and all the Egyptians said, sure, sure, here's some gold, some silver, some jewelry, some this, some that. And they all took it. They saw that. They all saw that. They left Egypt. They saw that the firstborn all over, people were mourning all over Egypt. Oh, no, no, my son, my father, my brother, all these firstborn all over Egypt dead. They left. Get out of here. Get out of here. And so they all left early in the morning while it was still dark. And they leave Egypt. And they wander around, and they come to the Red Sea. They all saw the miracle of the Red Sea, all of them. They went, marched through the middle of the sea on dry land. They all saw that. And they still doubted Moses, doubted God, did not believe. And so here's what the scripture says. For who provoked him when they heard, had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt, led by Moses, and with whom was he angry for 40 years? Then give us water out of the rock. So Moses struck the rock, you know, the water came out. Give us this, the manna came down for them. Give us this, and they had miracle after miracle in the wilderness. Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? Finally, God says, you know, that's it. I'm taking your kids. I'm going to march you around till all those 20 years older die. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? And why were they disobedient? Why wouldn't they go into the land of promise? Why wouldn't they do what God had asked them to do? Why wouldn't they do it? Verse 19. So we see they were not able. Get the connection here now. They were not able to enter in because of unbelief. Jesus was not able to do many miracles in his hometown because of unbelief. They were not able to enter in because of their unbelief. They just refused to believe God, refused to believe God's word, and they just couldn't do it. They couldn't come in. Your belief will stop you from obedience. You can't be obedient because you have a belief that's contrary to God's stated will. In the book of Romans, it's wonderful to believe. It is. Romans chapter 10. Let's pick it up in verse 6. Now, you know, Romans is about righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. It's a forensic righteousness that God grants you. He coats you with it. He covers you with it. It's God's covering you with his forensic righteousness. And he says in this, in verse 5. And Moses writes that the man who practices righteousness, which is based on the law, shall live by that righteousness. But now verse 6, Romans 10, verse 6. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. End quote. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down. The Hebrews here says that. Or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. And that is the word of faith which we are preaching. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes. Humans were created to believe. human mind is made to believe things. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. He confesses that belief. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. So we believe with our mind, we confess that belief with our mouth, and that is results in salvation. Jesus said it, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. You and I are responsible for the beliefs we hold, for the beliefs about God, for the beliefs about Jesus Christ, for the beliefs about each other, for the beliefs about the world, for the beliefs about forgiveness of sin, for the beliefs about salvation. May God help you to believe truly and righteously.